Sleep. There we go.
One thing I wanted to say was that is there any way that we can, a guideline can be, a guideline can be prepared for those who receive funds to make a report that each group that, you know, go to Liberia to do a project, you know, or send a money, that a guideline is given so that they can be able to send back a report before anything can be sent back to them.
So you're thinking in terms of, would there be a general outline that could be followed no matter what project was created? Okay.
I mean, that would help.
That way there'd be a consistent process.
It is true that some of them may not know the culture here in terms of reporting. Some of them may not know, I agree. But there are some of them know because they went to school here.
Mm.
Some of them live here and gone back home. And they know very well that when you get from here, you need to let people know how you use their money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when I go home, I even talk to them on that. When people send money back here for a project, you need to let them know how the money is used. That will, you know, motivate them to say, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going back to do this, to do that. So if a guideline is prepared, maybe it may help.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what degree it could be helpful for other people, but everybody in this room may not be aware that Operation Classroom does have a coordinator in country, in Liberia. Many of you may have known Herbert or Mary Zigbo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our coordinator is Herbert's, who's recently passed away, but his brother, Alfred, is the Operation Classroom coordinator. He's a graduate of Africa University. He's a very, very competent gentlemen, and we can make much greater use of Alfred than we are. He has greater abilities than we're currently making full use of. And there may be some ways that Alfred could serve as a facilitator or clearinghouse for the kinds of things that you're talking about. That as you're doing projects over there, that he could be a resource in terms of those reports and what they need to look like and how we get that done. So that, you know, one part of that needs to be a communication that to folks there. Jesus sends us out two by two, but if only one's doing the work, it's not going to continue. So part of the process, so that we can continue to work two by two, needs to be that reporting process, because the folks in Sierra are in both West African countries, but certainly in Liberia, are wanting folks to stay engaged. And if the communication isn't there, then we're not going to stay engaged.
I would think that Sheffa would already have that, the VIM coordinator. Mm-hmm. Everybody already has something like that just could be modified slightly.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was going to ask first if
yep.
you all had something in place, but certainly there has to be some process in VIM, and we don't need to reinvent the wheel if it's already something we can utilize. Edith?
Well, this relates to accountability issues as well. I want to make sure, I was extremely impressed when I went to Liberia earlier this year to learn about the Community Development Department. And I don't understand the full history or the full context, but what I do understand is that and I believe it's Denmark, it's one of the Scandinavian countries, is through their government funding a major development, significant development dollars that are being funneled through the United Methodist Church and this Community Development Department.
Mm.
So clearly they have a different way of approaching sort of church-state kinds of issues, mm-hmm. and they are they recognize a good partner in the United Methodist Church in Liberia. And what this, my understanding of what this involves, it's being, the program is run by Jonathan Kaipay, K-A-I-P-A-Y. They target certain communities, and it's a lot of leadership development and working with the community leaders to target a project that that community wants to do. But it's very much focused on things that have to do with health and with independent projects. What's the word, phrase?
Entrepreneurs.
Yeah. And the education department. There's been a lot of Helen kept talking to me about trips that she was making with Jonathan to go to villages, do a whole big sort of leadership training. There's a big accountability component to this, so the training about how you have to report back to us on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It involves building schools in a lot of places that have never in the history of Liberia had a school. The schools may not be called United Methodist Schools. They must be public schools. That's a stipulation of the program. But Helen is very involved in training. They're saying, you need to have a PTO. This is how you do that. There's a lot. But I was very, very impressed to hear how much effort was being made in that whole leadership development component and in this self-sufficiency component. So that's kind of what I understand. There's a lot. There's a fair amount of resources involved in that. There's a program office set up. There's four people listed as staff members on the website, Liberia Annual Conference staff. So the degree to which some of what we're thinking about could be piggybacked onto that, I don't know. But it's an intriguing. I was impressed by what I heard when I was there.
Right. And as I understand it, and it may be the same connection talking with Brother Rob, Norway is. From an entrepreneurial standpoint.
I think it is Norway. I
think an element of that is microcredit. So some of the microcredit. So, I think one of the opportunities maybe in the agricultural sector is, we talk about the accountability. And one of the things that strikes me is that there's a lot of expertise about writing proposals. The entrepreneurial bottom line is this going to be viable? Are we going to make money at this? Can we sustain this? That's a different element, and that may be an opportunity more. And that's certainly, in the context of 4-H records and balance sheets and cash flows and things of that sort, that's maybe another opportunity. But so that and I know Rob is a big advocate of trying to do the microcredit in the ag sector as well. So let's not only train, but let's try and finance and facilitate that as well. So kind of the evolution from NGO to social enterprises to bottom line business dynamics. And I think Rudolph would say to us all, ultimately, it's going to be the business opportunities that we need to develop. Mm-hmm. If we're going to, in the context of this thing, and that's our opportunity, maybe in this
create jobs. Yeah.
So, but Norway is part of it, and again, our ag may be an opportunity among many others to try and develop those. Right? Mm-hmm.
I might go back to something that Pride talked about earlier, and that is, if ag is going to develop, then it's imperative that those entrepreneurs who actually want to be involved in agriculture have access to land. The Methodist Church may well, I know, in places, has significant amounts of land. We also know that there are chiefs in lots of places who are anxious to see development happen, agricultural development within their chiefdoms. Is there, you guys who are from over there, you know, maybe this is one of the things we got to find out this spring while we're over there, is there any process on the part of the Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry, and Mining, I think it is, in in Liberia to actually identify what land availability that there is out there and how people can access land.
Sure. The government has a lot of land.
Okay.
And if you have a proposal or wanted to do a project or do something, the government will give you land.
There are programs where the government will provide land.
Yes.
They will lease land.
Lease land, I'll give you land. ELWA started a radio station in 1955 in Painesville area, or the ocean area. They give them a tract of land to establish a radio station. And that, and I think Billy Graham's son wants to use part of that land to build a university. And the government is saying they want to use that to build hotels and different things, so, because they have not used the land. But if you want to, I just wrote a letter to, in my community, the government had given the Lutheran Mission a big tract of land there. They folded up and moved up country. So that place is vacant. I was just writing a letter to the council people in my community to let farmer to farmer take that land and build farms and industries that will create jobs in that community. So yes, that's the process.
And I think in almost all African countries,
yes,
there is a process.
Yeah.
And especially for people who want to come into the countries and start some kind of large-scale project, that is welcome. But the government is going to ask you whether you're going to work with the chief of an area,
mm-hmm,
or an established council, but there is a process. And I think the issue of land shouldn't bother us. There is plenty of land.
And there, well, the land's there, certainly, mm-hmm, especially in these two countries.
And the process is there.
We know that here in the United States, so much of our agricultural production really is a result of the whole land grant university process, where the government gave land to these universities and they sold off small tracts of land at very, very low cost to fund the university, to create the university. And that was the beginning of our whole extension service, 4-H, and all of those things that all kind of ended up fitting together to create the kind of agricultural sector we've had.
And maybe one of the goals of this group or teams that go is to, before they go, to make these appointments with the right people. And in addition to whatever they're going to, see for yourself, have these conversations with the chiefs or the government or whatever, so that you come back with that concrete information in your hands. I know each country does its the way they do, but they all genetically do have a process of parceling out land. Yes.
You talked about lots of land, but is there adequate water there for production?
It depends on where this land is. Some places there's water, like the one he's describing, is on the beach, and there are rivers, and in other areas, you will have to work out a process of irrigation. But it depends on where you find that land. It depends on what your needs are, you know. Do I only want to go into a place where water is readily available, or is that part of the program where I have another budget that is going to bring, because this is more convenient, but there's no water.
Yeah, but is it all dependent on irrigation, which has
cost? No.
It's in the tropics.
On the coast, you're looking at 170 inches of rainfall a year.
Yeah.
If you move up country, that drops, but even when you get up to Ganta, you're looking at something in the range of 90 to 100 inches a year, which is roughly double what we would experience here.
Yeah.
Now, it's broken into two seasons.
That's right. There are only two seasons.
Changes your crop production depending upon the season. Mm-hmm. But there is adequate rainfall in Liberia.
Yes, and depending on where you want to be.
Well, I went on land and they talked about 5 months out of the year, all the dust that came in was so terrible. And talking about that made me feel that only half a year you had it, but that's,
no.
Mm-hmm. That's off towards the desert. So.
No, we're not in the desert.
Not
yet. We tried. That's why we.
It is coming.
That's why we have to go in there. That's why we have to go in there and find some other way of production to stop people from cutting the trees down and selling and burning coal. Mm-hmm. So we have to get. We have to rescue that right away. Arrest that process. And they're not even planting new trees as to cut them down. So
depression, you just didn't want to be there 5 months out of the year.
Yeah, we want to keep what we have. We don't want to destroy it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you have too much rain and sometimes too little rain.
Yeah.
One of the real opportunities, though, may be, you know, we get a double crop, we consider that very significant.
Yes.
There's potential for some triple cropping, perhaps.
Yes.
Especially in the rice.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's, yes, so, rice so, in particular.
So it's utilization. A lot of natural resources are certainly there.
Well, let's step back into the conversation guide, because I think we're on the verge of being ready to move to next steps and getting specific. But I want to be sure that we have a comprehensive list to share related to projects that we know that are already underway and what the status is there. The Ganta Mission Station, we've talked about the piggery and the poultry piece that's upcoming. The intention is that that will be self-supporting in 6 years, I think, was...
Well, pieces of it before that. The poultry project is struggling because at this point they can't produce enough grain to feed their own chickens. So they're having to import grain from Guinea, which makes it an economic non-starter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At Ganta.
Yeah.
So... the question whether they right now is whether they continue it for a while because of issues.
Because it's a very limited situation.
Until they can produce enough grain.
Yes. Yeah.
That can continue.
We just took $5,000 down to help them build the building, and they were starting to work on it.
They're going to start.
So is that miscommunication again?
Yes. No, we committed as a conference. Our goal is 50,000. I think she has a much higher budget than that, but we didn't.
Priscilla.
Oh,
yeah. But this was our commitment, and I know Bunny did take the funds with her that were on hand to this point. The initial gifts that have been received, because we know it's going to take a while to collect the 50,000.
The big issue is going to be getting enough grain production on the site.
To feed the chickens once they're there. Yep.
Corn or wheat?
Corn.
We planted corn, but it's one stalk and one ear.
Yeah. It's not maize.
Yeah.
It's maize and it's not corn production the way we understand.
Yeah. We planted corn too, but you're talking three seeds in a hill at a time, and I'm thinking, oh golly, we didn't do much except have an experiment.
Before the war, there was significant, and there still is, chicken production. So to say that the resources aren't there to do chicken production, I mean, it was done.
Yes, it will be done again.
They feed them before, of course.
I'm not sure what all they fed.
Mixture of grains.
Mixture of grains, and that's what's being worked on there. It's just going to take a while.
Is milo a possibility?
It could be. Amaranth is a possibility.
What is that? What is that?
Milo. Grain sorghum.
Yeah, grain sorghum.
No, amaranth is a very, very tiny seed.
Yeah.
Pigweed is our common weed. That's an amaranth if you're... No, you're not agriculture.
No, yeah.
It's a tiny little seed. I don't know how they handle it.
Look at the corn.
It's three cracks.
Look at
it. It take over.
That's probably an issue that needs additional research that we're not going to be able to solve.
But are there research projects there on the grain? If there's a lack of grain, is there research projects on improving grain production?
Well, Priscilla's working on that, of getting things started.
And I can't speak in Liberia right now in terms of agricultural research projects, but that has gone on previously. I know it's going on right now in Sierra Leone at their ag experiment stations. I'm assuming that Liberia is moving in that direction as well. Certainly ECHO down in Florida, as ECHO works in tropical agriculture worldwide, is dealing with those same issues.
I'm trying to think of the Presbyterian school that's out in the Bangor area.
Mm.
Reverend Foe, who was at Bangor School for Theology, was trained at the University of Illinois Ag School. And who had the proposal for the cross training with theology and agriculture, but he is now at first trying to develop best practices at another. If you help me, I'm
Cuttington.
Cuttington. And so in terms of, I think that's it. Another element though is in this, in terms of other areas, Ghana. And there's some pretty close associations with Ghana. That's another place where we visited ag research, and so you, but again, it's that kind of work's being done.
That was one of my questions from this morning. What areas are there that are already doing this work that we can draw on as resources?
Well, in fact,
how many are there?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are a lot of them, but Priscilla, for example, when we were there, she went with us to Ghana as well.
Okay.
And we toured university facilities, and Ghana has a long ways to go as well. But they also are doing very, very well. I mean, on a relative basis, I think. And so one of the things that's been discussed is a link with Ghana as well, perhaps.
Yes. Can you write those down for us, the ones that you know about?
No, you bet. And we can. You betcha. We can put those.
I think that's a part of
a missionary, an agriculture missionary in Ghana. I don't know if you ever met with. Adevu?
You
know Mozart?
I've emailed back and forth with him.
Okay. Now he can provide us a
Mozart.
He can provide us with a lot of information on agriculture because he is the specialist for GBGM on agriculture in all the. He travels all over Africa doing agriculture with them.
This is Mozart Avedu, AVEDU. Mm-hmm. And he is the GBGM agricultural specialist for West Africa.
Well, what about? I mean, here's something simple. What could be enabled if Mozart had a full time person under him in Liberia?
Just in Liberia?
Yeah, devoted to Liberia, so that there was a GBGM ag person that was focused strictly on Liberia. I mean, is that something that makes sense?
Caroline, can you help us?
Paid by whom?
Paid by us. You know, is this something that we should?
Yeah, see, that could be
a high priority.
That would very well work, so long as this body here said to the bishop, "Remember what we said. We cannot make this decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We in the agriculture group." Look at some of the possibilities that would help the annual conference, and that is to identify somebody who can write reports, who can send out proposals, who is the point person for agriculture in the Liberia annual conference. And this person would work with the GBGM missionary who covers West Africa. That could be a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. I mean, it went from how many missionaries? 12 down to 8?
It's 15 to 8.
Perhaps he can request an agricultural missionary.
He can request an agricultural missionary, but I think at this point Liberia is not on the priority list because I think Liberia has the highest number of missionaries, more than any of the other African countries.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what would be the process then if this became an emphasis for the partners here?
If it would be one of the recommendations way forward, which we're going to do tomorrow, and we will take that recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And if the bishop endorses it, this is endorsed by the bishop, and then we start to look for funding that is going to fund this position. And then it will be a local Liberia placement. And this person will probably report to somebody in Liberia, supervised by Mozart, or what you get together.
The promise, yes, I was just going to say, the promise of going that direction provides some continuity for whatever happens there, rather than us trying to piecemeal it.
Exactly.
A little here, a little there.
Excellent.
What are your thinking?
I think the bishop's brother is the coordinator of agriculture for the Methodist Conference. And I don't know what, you know, and with all of the pluses and the challenges that presents. So that's the reason.
Yeah.
So that's your local dynamic in terms of...
Are we getting results?
I'm not
going to
go there at all.
Oh, I'm sorry, I went there.
And but you know, if you don't ask, you never know.
No, you betcha.
And that's why we are in these groups, to bring to the table our recommendations, our thoughts. They might be shut down, but maybe will be some.
But would you give us your perspective? One of the things that I find interesting, and I find most challenging, is that you read Ellen Sirleaf's biography. Autobiography, and she comes to the University of Wisconsin with her husband, who she's not married to at this point, but who was there to study agriculture. And so this is not, I mean, this is, we've been saying this for, I'm sure they've been saying in Liberia for the last 100 years, 200 years, 50 years, whatever it may be. And so the recognition has been there, in fact, that needs to be done. But why hasn't there been more progress, do you think, in terms of agriculture?
It is, I think, what I alluded to earlier, that the African mentality, the African psyche has been, you do go to school, and once you've been to school, you do not go back to the lab. You go to an office and work in an office. And that has eroded anybody thinking about agriculture. And it's, I think, up to us to show that going to an office and or trying to find a job is no more practical. If we can make an example of one, two, or three young people who we can support, and they can demonstrate that you can be successful without sitting in an office, that's a start. I think that's where we're going to start. But until we take away that mentality that you have to run away from agriculture.
That conversation that you and I were having earlier.
Yes.
One of the people I've gotten to know in Sierra Leone was the Minister of Agriculture in President Kabah's government, Dr. Sama Mbombo, or Dr. Mande. One afternoon in a conversation that I was having with him, he helped me understand some things I hadn't perceived before. Before the coming of the Europeans, this part of the world was a culture of plenty. You reached up here and grabbed a banana, you reached over here and there's guava and mango. Mangoes become a nuisance. You know, cassava grows, all kinds of plants. I mean, you got to spend an hour or two a day in the rice paddy, and that's really all you needed to do to take care of your family. We come out of a culture that says you got to bust your butt all summer long or you're going to die in the winter. Okay. In this culture, when you're on the land, you work an hour or two today to feed your family, and now you got them taken care of. So now you can spend the rest of your time socializing. So it becomes a very, very social culture. But when you put people back on the land, there is not this this culture of generating wealth from the land as we understand it. That's right. I mean, you know, I'm thinking about all this as I'm flying back into Indianapolis this spring, and I'm looking down, and I mean, we are farmed fence line to fence line all across Indiana. When you fly into West Africa,
it's not
just
that
a
way.
Different perception.
Yeah, I was going to add that to what Caroline was sharing too. My experience in Nanakru, which is a very rural area, walking out there, and the superintendent saying to me, he cannot get people to get, let's say, excited or interested in agriculture because they see no reason. they can go out and pick the cassava. They can go out and get this. So why go to cultivation in the first place? And his perspective is the only way it's going to change is if the children change and learn a different way. You were going to say, Brian?
When Liberia was founded, there were farmers that left here, part of the migration. They all settled along the Simpo River area, and they produced the food that the people ate in the city, because they came down the river on the boats. Some of them came from New Orleans, so I guess they knew how to build boats. So they had these big boats. They had two big boats. One would work 1 week, and then they would park it, and the other guy, there were two owners. So 1 week for this guy, and next week for the other guy. So that's how the division of labor was put together. But they brought all the produce, everything they produced up country, and they came and sold it to the marketeers and their retail to the people. So that whole area, Sierra Leone, Liberia, produced, you know, there were rice production there before the Europeans came. You know,
that's part of the reason that planters in the southern part of the United States were importing slaves
from that area.
That part of the world because that's they knew how to grow rice.
That's where Uncle Ben was born, over there.
I didn't know it was like that. Thank you. History.
Yes. So growing, you know, we know how to grow stuff. And we were growing stuff without fertilizer back then. So we know how to do that. It's just that we've been set back so long. You know, for the war has set us back, and people did not go to school for so many years. So the human capital has been, thwarted in a way that we have to show people now. We can't just tell them. We have to. That's why I said we go there and we make some big farms and show people that they can produce. And not just produce for their own consumption, but be able to market that. You get salespeople, you get marketing people, you get production people. And then they will see that they will make more money doing that than the guy sitting in the office waiting for a monthly check. That would change the whole thing. I believe that would change the dynamics.
And I agree 100%, but like I say, we have to use different methods,
sure,
because it will take a curve,
yes,
to get to that.
Yes.
And that should be the end goal.
Yeah. Well, somehow you got to start someplace. Yes. You have to start someplace.
And I forgot to put in the necessity for all these students studying theology to do theology and agriculture. Mm-hmm. The pastor needs to be able to show his congregation, his community, that I am the pastor, but I am good on the land.
But if he tries to do that and he says, you plant a seed, and the seed produces. If he can plant a seed, physical seed, and bring forth fruit, he can plant a spiritual seed and bring forth fruit also. So we got a win-win situation. Let's go do it. That's all it is. Just do it.
Let me go back to the agricultural coordinator that we're talking about. And let me ask a question. Those of you who have been going to Liberia for agriculture have, since there is a coordinator of agriculture for the conference, which is James Innes. Okay, have you been involved with any of the projects or agriculture projects? Have you come around?
I'm involved on a very limited basis, so I can't really answer that. What I can indicate to you on 4-H side is that that's being led from kind of the education side. So that's Helen Roberts, Evans, and so that's where the focus has been there. On the project we did in Ganta, and again, Ours, and you can argue the sustainability of this, and I think there's some real validity in terms of where it kind of goes. We considered it more kind of a seed basis, and that was a direct relationship between the church and the Gonta Mission. And as a part of that, we talked about the accountability. We use the money. We get reports on all of the money that's been spent. You can go. You can see the number of rubber trees that have survived. You can see the chickens that have or have not survived. You can look at the piggery. So it's a little more of accountability. So ours is not necessarily the institutional model by any means, but it's a growth. And so it was more a personal, but it came though out of a check. Again, you look at Keith's list here, and there's some. I mean, Carolyn, you talk about the. I mean, there's some really great opportunities here. The School for Theology, Jim, we talked about it. They have a facility, and they have some staff and others who could really, if given the right tools, mm-hmm. could really do a great job of kind of cross training with. And the Methodist Conference just there. My sense anyway is from the very few visits is. Just like our Methodist Conference in Illinois, and I assume in Michigan and other places, is one that is in rural areas, and so there's a real opportunity to go there. And so I'm not sure whether this comes under agriculture, comes under education. One of the challenges I think is we look at this group, and Bob's got a great deal of expertise, and we need that, but we need to get young. Right now, for example, there are four of the national FFA officers. That are in Liberia working on 4-H. Now, what happens with the national FFA officers is that they have a time they're out of office in October, I think they have their annual meeting, and then they don't start back in college until January, and so this group is there now, and the past president of the FFA has been working with the 4-H group,
okay.
And so in terms of getting the youth and some young vitality in this process, I mean that's part of the opportunity in this thing. So to answer your question, I think I'm very limited and it's been more of a direct. But I think there's some. But what we've seen is the same thing you've all seen is there's some incredibly hardworking people if given the right kind of tools and access, they could do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your, I mean, that, mm-hmm. and that's the basic premise, right? And the women in particular could do a lot of things. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Matthew?
Is there any way we can maybe talk to the bishop that, because if people go there for education, I know the director of education is always with them.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way we can talk to the bishop that people that are going for agriculture, that the person in charge of agriculture be with them?
Mm.
The
coordinator, whatever we're doing in agriculture, the coordinator is involved. Yeah, I don't know.
The conference for agriculture should be with the group.
Oh, okay, sure.
So that's what is going on.
And I think that's, again, what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Recommend this so that he hears it tomorrow.
Yeah. Have you had connections with him in that process? Okay.
I don't know how many of you guys have read some of these books, for instance, When Helping Hurts, kind of things. So I'm hearing what you're saying, and you bring up a very, very good piece of information. The suggestion from this side, we need to go throw some money at the problem to hire somebody to oversee this. Whoops, this guy's maybe already in place and on staff. Whoops. That is just very natural, but it's very obvious that we got to be careful before we step out on the ice, that we know, judge how thick the ice is. Mm-hmm. First thing, we've created a problem worse than the first problem. In a case like this, we all know Bishop Ennis is just very open to ideas. So what we do, very simply, and as you were saying, where we put somebody, ask the person in charge of agricultural, all we got to do, these guys are smart. If they become more aware of the facts that we're pulling together in this room, their focus will evolve to our solution, the same solution, not ours, but a solution, they may not be aware of the fact that if they are just sort of taken, as you say, let them go with us to these projects, because Helen's already on board. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like we've maybe kind of stepped around in your project, the main office, for whatever reason, haven't chosen to go through that.
Well, I mean, the reality is that our Illinois Great Rivers Conference wasn't ready to go through forward with agriculture either at a time. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it wasn't simply and for a lot of good reasons. I mean, malaria was the prior, and the prioritization was made with malaria. I mean, I think there's always those kind of prevailing kind of, and so some of the interesting dynamics is, and if you ask in terms of, you know, kind of that. You know, you got a church, you've got a district, you've got a conference, you've got a you've got all of these structures, and we all, you know, and we want to institutionalize this, and need to in many respects. On the one hand, on the other hand, want to get something done too. Mm-hmm. And another thing is, in terms of capacity, we need to recognize the capacity for 4-H isn't necessarily within the Methodist Church. I mean, we need to be partnering with those people that are working in Africa on 4-H with capacity, and so how do we really partner, you know, in terms of doing that as well? So I wrestle with, and Bunny was the one. I mean, it was the Methodist Conference that facilitated, you know, let's look at agricultural projects, and that was vital to the process. On the one hand, on the other hand. It's the greatest strength, but it's also there's some challenges with that as well.
There is, and to finish my thought, it was just simply this. There's nothing wrong with doing what you did, and you stepped out, and it's beginning to work. Well, you know, when you're floating the aircraft carrier, that thing doesn't turn as quickly as a speedboat. So once you kind of show them a little bit, it'll gradually, slowly, with marketing, with advertising of your idea, with cajoling, the person in charge will say, wait a minute, that's working. We need to shift the resources, the time, the energy. We were formerly going this direction. Maybe this, but it takes time. And so
the person in charge is very much aware of, I mean, he has financial incentive. First of all, these mission stations to generate agricultural production.
To start supporting ourselves.
That'll mm-hmm. support not only the mission station, it also will help support the annual conference, because it has historically.
It will.
And so mm-hmm. if Ganta and Banga and Camphor and can all reinstitute a productive agricultural program that then can be moved to other places, other churches, other facilities, and that can all become a part of the church moving forward, that has all kinds of financial ramifications for the conference.
Yes.
I mean, many of us have been there last year when the conference couldn't pay their electric bills, and so the conference office has been cut off from electric. So, I mean, he's got lots of financial incentive to see the agricultural sector, to begin with in the mission stations themselves, but beyond that, be grown and turned into productivity. So if we can give them reasons to do that.
So our collective thought then may very well be that we see this as a direction that needs to move to the very top priority, and that we would encourage GBGM, everybody up there, to move it ahead of whatever else is there. Bricks and mortar are always important too. But this should jump ahead of bricks and mortar. And, you know, this really, maybe that should be our message. And, of course, working within their system, their time frame, they know how to best change the direction of the ship. But we tell them the ship really needs to change direction.
And I agree. And in the context of 4-H, I think the message, what I've learned in the process is, I mean, our concept was, let's provide some seed money to get the thing launched, the sustainability is going to take the Detroit Conference and the Indiana Conference and in terms of Methodist schools. Mm-hmm. Another element of this on the education side is there's a West Central after exam that every student takes to get to graduate out of middle school and, right. and then to get out of high school. Looking at the alignment, you look at the West Central after exam material in terms of what the alignment, and you look at 4-H curriculum, there's some real interesting opportunities to align the experiential learning through 4-H with passing the West Central Africa exam. And so, again, in terms of some opportunities, that one little donation at the beginning, that's the opportunity in terms of this thing as well, I think. And so from a teacher perspective, there's some real opportunities there perhaps as well. So I would hope that the how many schools are there? I mean, it's interesting. How many Methodist schools do we have in Liberia at this point? Do we know?
It's 100, isn't it?
I don't know the number.
I think Helen told me it was 100 plus.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim made the point in terms of something specific. It would be interesting if as a charge, we tried to, in terms of what we tried to facilitate as a Methodist group, would be trying to have a 4-H club in how many schools?
In every school.
And there's some real opportunities, Edith, for some direct church-to-church 4-H club to 4-H club that might come out of that. And then on an institutional basis, it would be trying to sustain the Omar, the conference staff kind of dynamics and how you develop that as well. And then I think another element of this from a technology standpoint is they're developing things where satellite communication driven by solar in rural areas.
Cisco communication.
So from I heard the discussion in terms of books, the reality in terms of technology kind of leaps opportunities.
Yeah.
Can we in fact? I mean, is that doable in terms of let's leap from books to let's skip books and go directly to electronic and is that pie in the sky?
I was speaking to the doctor, the gentleman from Germany.
Siegfried.
And I was saying, you know, thank you so much for your presentation, but we also need to start looking at the new technologies in Africa, because Africa is skipping some steps in development into today's development. They have started in some areas where I think it is imaging, please excuse my language, I don't know what they call it, where a doctor in California is working with a doctor in Zimbabwe to treat somebody. And he told me, oh yeah, that technology is already working in Mozambique. So that is a possibility. It's coming.
Mm-hmm. I read an article this week that said that in the agricultural sector, the growth that's occurring in Africa right now is because a small plot farmer of country in Liberia can take out his cell phone and get information on farming practices that he could never have received before.
And so that answers your question. It is coming. It is a possibility. It's cheaper. Mm-hmm. I heard about sending books and I'm saying, okay, so we have a donation of 30,000 books.
Everybody's getting rid of books.
How much is
how good are
to
they?
Cost to ship them? And that's a dilemma I'm always facing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we have a ton of this, a ton of that. Yes, you have it. But is it worth the cost of sending what you have?
Are you undercutting the entrepreneurs of Liberia that are trying to provide the same thing?
Yes, and exactly.
It's a whole lot of things that the book that you said you can kill with kindness or whatever. It's the generosity of the heart. It is an honest way of solving something. And first time, sometimes it does not work, or sometimes it destroys.
Amen.
It's like The farmer, instead of going to a market and buying seeds, you send a ton of seeds. You see, you are exporting the seed. Somebody who would have bought the local seed, you know, there is a lot of things that we just need to look at the ramifications. Yeah. Sometimes we have to send the seed because the seed is stronger and it will germinate better. Sometimes maybe we need to look for local markets. It's like FAO, Food and Agriculture Organization. When they used to go and work to provide food, in fact, they used to ship grain to where they were working. Nowadays, they go to the local markets and buy food from the next country to feed wherever they have the refugee camps. You know, these are things that we need to evaluate, look at, and be willing to adjust our thinking, you know.
Mm-hmm. When I was at Canberra, vice principal said that the next work team was going to work on a satellite dish for internet connection because they have no facilities for teaching students about physical body. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted an LCD, a projector, and, you know, one workstation. So has anybody heard, has that been done? Was that done on this last trip? Or?
This last work group, the person from Geneseo that went to Camphor, there was some issue in terms of their not being far enough along to make that work.
Sorry, and
but
bootstrapping off that, I'm sorry.
Bunny would like to have the name of your group, the people who are in your group, and their email addresses. So if you'll just pass that around.
Okay.
Thank you.
Some of us requested all that last night. This is good.
Well, we're going to confirm it because we discovered we didn't have them all.
But for instance, unfortunately, our church stepped out about 4 years ago, and we sent over, I want to say, 10 or 12 laptops, the satellite uplink, one-year subscription for the guys. Don't do that. Don't do that. I confess. You get out in front of them. Mm-hmm. That didn't work. That thing's now, all the computers are gone. Gastonia sent in the vocational training school an entire workshop full of equipment. They promptly burned up all of the motors. With three-phase electricity and single-phase motors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we are the poster child at Bongo for trying to do it wrong. And not intentionally, of course. But we do need to read that book, Helping Hurts. And every time you come up with a great idea, turn to Michael and say, Michael, what's this sound like to you? So he can say, not until you've checked this or this. And so, and to finish the little thought, we, DT, who's, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys, he's leaving shortly to come back. He's sort of, that's done great things, but I think he's decided it's come to its end. He's having to drive to Monrovia every time I would Skype with him. Mm-hmm. We're doing that once, and he couldn't get the Skype to be functional enough in Bongo. So to answer your question, no, we aren't there yet. Books, unfortunately, at least for the next 5 years, I'll say, books are the way to read something because they're just not dependable enough to use what we just take for granted over here now. So that's
but
sort
it's
of
coming.
It'll be there. It'll be there. And it's going to be really a lot of fun to watch it, but we got to work in the pace that fits the times.
We sent an incubator, an electric incubator, back with Priscilla to Ganto in a place where they couldn't provide good electricity. So we're not a model of learning lessons. I mean, so we didn't do some things very well.
Hey, we've replaced the inverter system at Kissy 3 different times.
So we certainly we didn't do very well on that thing.
Long ago, before the incubators for little children, there were preemies in Africa, but they grew. What they did would go, they would go and cut the banana leaf, the not the older one, but the new, the fresh, in the town.
The younger one.
And then they would go and put it over fire, and it would become very, very soft. And they would wrap the baby in that and put all kinds of other warm banana leaves. They would be changed like every hour or whatever, and their child would be in the next bed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we should have sent those over instead.
You didn't need three phase for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Not three phase.
No. I mean, it's no longer. Africa has one foot in today's world and the other in the ancient world, and eventually. Yeah.
Well, you, go ahead.
You ought to read a book called How Europe Underdeveloped Africa.
Yes, I would.
Say it again.
How Europe underdeveloped Africa. Under. Mm-hmm. And then you would know why we have so many problems.
Are there any other current projects that we're involved in that someone has information about? We've shared several things about Ganta and Bonga. Are there other projects that need to be lifted? Is there anything you can say before I forget on the UMU Ag Center at Greenville? Do you know anything more about that, Mike?
It is, I think it's analogous with our community college dynamic in terms of level. As I understand it, there are two or four sent from each district every year from our conference district to study agriculture, and I've looked at the curriculum, and we met with who's the head of UMU?
Stevens.
No, the Methodist doctor. Whatever. But so it's analogous. They have a great deal of ground in Greenville. They have a lot of again the natural resource challenge. Logistically, was for us just getting down there because of its distance.
Mm-hmm.
But from the description, looking at the curriculum, it's kind of a 2-year curriculum analogous with our community college, and looks pretty promising if they can get it all off and going. So that's what I know about community college district. The commitment from the conference is to send so many representatives from each district with the intention, and kind of, you know, as you think about, Bob, in terms of going back then to their districts, so kind of a development of some expertise district by district. So that's what we know about it. I had hoped we could maybe get, we have a lot. We, in Illinois, for example, we have 20-plus community colleges involved with agriculture education. And we have 4 universities. We've got our land grant and then Southern, Western, and Normal, and ISU, yeah. And so trying to make, so again, in terms of capacity, and very interestingly, we have those universities are all located in places where we have significant Methodist communities.
Mm-hmm.
And so wouldn't it be interesting if we could get, within the Illinois structure, we thought in terms of Fellheimer and Western, mm-hmm. What would there be in terms of SIU? You've got some real significant expertise down here in terms of Southern Illinois as well, and some community college. So that's what I know about that more, but it's a good project.
Have you met Guy Goodman?
He's
a dean at our local
ICC.
Junior college, Illinois Central College. And he has been to Liberia, and he's here. He's in the education.
Training. Probably.
Is he here?
And
he's
that
here
is his goal.
Yeah.
Yes, he's here.
Do you have any ideas or any connections? He wants to maybe actually get some of his instructors here.
Yeah.
ICC's got some really, in the Ag and Mech area,
yes,
they've got some really good folks in Ag and Mech, so that'd be really
could
good.
Take some leadership there.
I have a question about the Greenville thing. I know that we provided a very minimal amount of support to a couple of young men who are from Riversess in order to get them enough money to finish getting through a semester at an ag school that was further down the coast. And I'm thinking, would that have been?
That'd be great.
I thought it was a government school.
No, It may be, but Greenville is where.
Where is Greenville exactly?
Well, Greenville is where the, it's down the coast.
South, it's along the coast.
Is it in Sino County?
That is.
Yes, that's Sino.
Greenville, right on the coast.
Yeah.
And there isn't any other government ag school in that same area that you guys know of?
I'm not aware of any.
Well, how many four-year universities are there in Liberia, and how many of those then have agriculture as a component?
University of Liberia is your primary source of agriculture, and again, I think it's ag and food, it's ag and food department, and it's like, maybe in terms of
Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry and Mining.
Is that what it is in terms of that one? But you have University of Liberia.
Cuttington.
Cuttington has got one, who else?
United Methodist University.
Yeah, UMU.
Monrovia College.
What about the Catholic?
Monrovia College.
I don't know, Catholic University? I don't think. You got less than ten.
I think Cuttington is thought to be maybe that's where some are located, we're going to for best agricultural practices.
Yeah, they had a nursery up there at Cuttington.
And Reverend Foe, who was at Bunga School of Theology, I think is over at Cuttington now.
Yeah, they had that.
That's right.
Is that where he is?
I mean, the question next would be, does the university have any type of outreach program?
And they do have an extension, Bob, and I think, again, the challenge has been, and probably there was a time when it worked very, very well,
Booker Washington Institute, I think it's a two-year college now, but they had a vocational program when I went to school there. Mm-hmm. And they had an ag department, they had machine shop, carpentry, electrical, electronics, all of that. So I don't know, they just elevated to a two-year college now, so I don't know if they still have those programs in place. But there's another place you can look to for students coming out of there to go into an ag program that will be able to help us do some things.
And there are Methodist schools that focus on vocational too, right? Are there some Methodist schools that focus on vocational training?
No.
Well, Ganta, I don't know what Ganta.
Well, Ganta does to some extent, but I think there's some that
I used to.
I'm trying to think of one in Monrovia that does. Is there one in Monrovia?
Well, the challenge I know, as I've observed over there, to some degree is the same challenge we have in this country with vocational education. Really, quality, effective vocational education is to find instructors. Mm-hmm. Because, especially in the developing world, somebody who's a good farmer or a good auto mechanic or a good builder can make so much more money in the private sector than our Methodist schools are prepared to pay somebody to be an instructor. I mean, when we're paying $100 a month for a teacher, and that good auto mechanic or that good farmer can be making five times that. Mm-hmm. That's the tough nut that you got to crack in order to be able to provide effective vocational education.
No, same problem
with the U.S. though. We cannot hire math and science people. Why would they come and teach when they can make twice in the private sector, but they can't teach it?
Well, at my church, Celebration United Methodist Church in Euclid, Ohio, when I went to high school in Liberia, we had instructors from Perryview A&M and Tuskegee on our campus. And they did all the shop. They did electronics, like I mentioned before. So I'm at this church, there's a gentleman that I graduated from Tuskegee, and we've been talking, and he says, well, it'd be nice if we got some of those young farmers graduating, spending 6 months in Liberia with you guys. Perfect, we're looking into that. But that's where you need good instructors to come in and model for people to see how it's done and the results. Then then they'll pick that up quicker than you trying to read something out of a book for them to pick up.
There is, just in the last few weeks, I've had contacts. A student chapter of Engineers Without Borders that's wanting to take it. I mean, this is a group of college-level kids that are wanting to go into Liberia or Sierra Leone mm-hmm. to work. I had a contact earlier this week, or last week, from a school teacher in Elk Grove, California, and I still haven't figured out how he got my name, who has a Christian Green Technology Club mm-hmm. in his high school that's wanting to come to West Africa to develop or to build with native materials mm-hmm. solar systems that can be applicable there. This is a bunch of college, high school kids. Mm-hmm. And it says that there is, within that age group, a level of momentum of kids today mm-hmm. saying, we want to go do something worthwhile. We yeah. want to yes. yeah. do something yep. that has value.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Definitely. I'd like to suggest a break right now to stretch at least. And when we come back together in about 10 to 15 minutes max, we focus on what we feel we can do together to move forward. Okay.